incredible. And I think it's important to ground us in the work we're doing and why we're here spending our Thursday night together. And I did this piece for a slightly bigger reason. So this school matters. It's important that we have a place for kids to flourish and express themselves on everything they're feeling and experiencing and learning through arts. And just like teachers of color make a school better for all kids, not just students of color, this school makes Oakland better and it makes California better. And it really makes our country a better place. And we're not a perfect place. We are really in the middle of hard stuff about equity and systemic racism and making sure people in our community feel valued and cared for. But what's incredible about this school is we're in the middle of it and we're not running from it, and it is hard. And that's not always the case. And so with the Heart of Oakland, I really want us to share what we have and what we're doing with other people. I think we need to invite other people to the Heart of Oakland, invite them into our school, and really share this event, because this school is flawed and beautiful, and I think it really needs to be shared. So that's my student art, and I want to put a little plug: whoever is bidding against me on the Oaklandish gift certificate on the silent auction, I'm hoping you will stop, because I really want to win that one. So with that, I'm going to take attendance. So Josefina.
Here.
Thank you. Adrian?
Here.
Thank you. Mike?
Here.
Thank you. Steve?
Here.
Thank you. I'm here. Jonathan? Wei-Ling? Melissa? Jason? Dwayne?
Here.
Diane?
Here.
Nora?
Here.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to call the meeting to order. We have a quorum. Ms. Douglas, could you go over the meeting norms?
Yes, thank you. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. Comment on non-agenda items may be made at the beginning of the meeting. After hearing a report, members of the public have the opportunity to offer comments in a designated time prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. Please sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all the signups, so keeping the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is much appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. Public comment will be capped at 2 minutes per speaker. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. The board cannot respond to public comment on non-agenda items. Staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. Please remember that we are a community of choice comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We may have different ideas of how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe space for a variety of opinions. We respect the timid voices as well as the loud ones, and we address each other in a respectful manner to model good citizenship to our students. For clarification on the recording, board members and members of the public should please state their names prior to speaking, and this meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the school website. Thank you.
Thank you. Our student advisor report, Nora.
Hi. I just wanted to say students are truly devastated by the loss of Ms. Joshi as a teacher at this school. She is truly incredible, and I learned so much as her student, and I know so many other students did too. As BSOC and COSATS have been pointing out, There's truly a disconnect between the words and actions when it comes to justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion at the school, and Ms. Joshi leaving really exemplifies this. By losing her, we are down to just one BIPOC academic high school teacher, which is really upsetting and doesn't make the students of color at OSA feel welcome at this school. And it also doesn't align with OSA's diversity statement. Again, as pointed out by BSOC and COSATS, this is a direct result of teacher salaries being far too low. Less than half of my teachers from sixth grade to now still remain at the school. And I know this is the case for most high school students. It makes it hard to form connections with teachers and feel like you're in a steady environment. Teacher retention is a major problem, and it's not going to get better if salaries are not raised and COSATS is not supported. We love this school and we want it to be the best it can be, and are looking forward to the admin working with us, the students, and the teachers to ensure it doesn't happen again. I speak for all the students when I say we stand with the teachers and we want everything they want and more, because they are the backbone of this school and this community. I stand by the students speaking in public comment today and will advocate for their beliefs. And I know that there's been a lot of upset and similar feelings, and BSOC gave a really incredible presentation at an assembly and at the APT meeting around this. And I really just wanted to echo that.
Thank you, Nora. Public comment on the student advisor report. I'll wait a second. You sign up for public comment in the chat. You just put your name in and say public comment for whatever item you would like. Okay, Maury, public comment, is it for the student advisor report?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi everyone, I'm Maury Reardon. I am co-president of APT. And Nora, your words were really, really powerful. So thank you for sharing that. And I just want to say that someone told me recently that there was one academic teacher of color left at OSA. And I didn't, okay, Romy's shaking her head. So, but even if it's close to one, I don't care if there's two. We're talking teachers, we're talking people that the kids connect with. We saw some really helpful data that came from students last night. So I think I appreciate your words, Elise, and acknowledging we have a problem, because we do, but I just want to frame what Duane said last night about the issues that Nora's talking about, and that is that the implementation has absolutely not caught up with the community frustration over this issue. And in the middle is where we are. So, but I'm really glad the kids are kind of weighing in and taking the lead on this. So thank you.
Thank you, Maury. Any board comment? Okay, thank you, Nora. Public comment on non-agenda items. Karen Morfin, sorry.
Hi, this is Karen Morfin. I wanna use my time to ask a couple of simple requests. I believe that we as a community, I've stated in several meetings, we need some type of accountability report from OSA. And this really needs to touch on a couple of items. We would really like to have a meeting with a detailed explanation of DEI inflows and DEI outflows, how much it has been raised, how much it has been spent, and how do we plan to fundraise and keep those funds earmarked for for the JEDI work. I am saddened that Uma Joshi has left, and there will be no replacement for what she brought to the table. I want to also emphasize that the new JEDI person was supposed to work with Uma, and now Uma is gone. I want to ask the board to consider that this new JEDI position reports also to the board, so that there is transparency and clarity from the JEDI coordinator, and there could be a safe space for this new JEDI coordination without fearing retaliation from administration, and with clear connection between board, administration, teachers, BSOC, and affinity groups. Lastly, I would really like you to do a recap of where we started at the beginning of the year and where we are at the end of the year, and see what progress was made having Candace and spending these thousands of dollars on her services. Was there useful? We never received a report as to what she was gonna do as a community. We also didn't receive a progress report of what she was doing other than casual conversations with teachers. I think it is time that we really take all the cries and all the public asks that we had since February of last year for accountability and transparency about DEI efforts. And with that, I conclude my time. Thank you.
Thank you. Leela, I think I said that right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Can you guys hear me all right? Okay, great. Hi, everyone. My name is Leela Kiawat. I'm a senior in theater, and I've been here for 7 years. And in those 7 years, I've seen 21 teachers come and go. I counted it today on PowerSchool. I know very much what it's like to feel alienated as a person of color at OSA, because I've been the only Indian woman in the theater department for my time here. And that has been an experience for me. So I do feel for my teachers of color who have been forced out. My entire theater department also looks completely different than it did in sixth grade. And two of my theater teachers have left this year, one to pursue a better teaching opportunity elsewhere. I really love this school and I love my teachers, and I am the person I am because of my teachers, and even my teachers who have left the school, like Mr. Chizaro, who after leaving 2 years ago, literally looked over my college essays with me and helped me through that process. But I feel kind of stupid, or I feel pretty stupid getting emotional in front of you guys, because it feels like I've done this a lot, and I feel like my peers have done this a lot. And I am in pain, and I want to tell you about it, and I want you guys to hear it and to feel inspired to practice what you guys have been preaching since you put out that diversity statement a while ago. But I don't know, I still feel weird about it, because I come to board meetings a lot and they do feel like a performance. And I know about performances because I'm in theater and I love to create performance. So I kind of know how it works. And I see students come and prepare these really emotional speeches and words about the state of the school. And then I see the board and the administration nod and go into closed session. And I don't see a lot of concrete change coming out. I see a lot of initiatives and a lot of steps, but I don't see a lot of change about teachers and how much they're paid. I feel like a lot of deja vu every time I come to these, like we did this in 2019, we did this in 2020. I don't understand, and I have a lot of questions. And if I've learned anything, it's that this is a process in which human lives are getting buried under bureaucracy. I didn't even understand how much bureaucracy it was until I started coming to these meetings, but it's really overwhelming. And it stresses me out, and I'm sure it stresses all of you out. We all know that we want teachers to be paid more, and that much is clear, but I just don't understand why there's so much bureaucracy to it, and why, like Miss Joshi, a teacher who's so amazing that I don't even have words to do it justice, has to sacrifice her livelihood to do what she spent the last 3 years doing. I don't understand, and I would love to maybe do some sort of, even though I'm really tired of meetings and presentation, do some sort of thing to understand why the school is like very top heavy and why there is so much confusing stuff at the top that has to be done and so many processes to jump over for the smallest things to happen. I'm just really sick and tired of like the formality and the town halls and just these meetings in general. These are genuine questions that I have. And I'm not trying to attack anyone. I just don't know what to do about 21 teachers having left and just having to sit through it, because it sucks. And I remember coming home to my mom in eighth grade after hearing about my eighth grade teacher and about the struggles she was having, and just crying because she was bringing so much energy to my classes and disciplining students, and she was doing so much, but not even able to live in the city where she was teaching. And it's the same thing with Ms. Joshi. And I've been to one of the COSATS bargaining sessions, and they were really eye-opening in a super bad way. I didn't even know that my teachers spend like hours on Wednesdays, the one day that they're not diligently teaching over Zoom, trying to bargain for a living wage. I've literally seen them work on a presentation for 2 years and lay out a proposal that has been continuously ignored and get nowhere with admin, and they still show up to class the next day 100%, not trying to burden the students with anything that's going on and dealing with students who are also drained and who have lost spirit because of this virtual learning and all the other crazy stuff that's happening outside in the world. I just don't know what to do, and I don't know how to get through, and there's so much language being used that I don't understand that I have to do my own research to get through. And it's kind of like, what's the point of this board meeting if what's happening keeps happening? I just don't know what to do, and I would really love to get some guidance from you guys, or to, I don't know. I'm just feeling very lost, and I'm really, really saddened about everything that's happening. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob Tinsman.
Hi, I'm the parent of two kids at OSA, and I just want to say to students, thank you so much for speaking up. This is like, you know, and being really honest and passionate, because, you know, our students really bring passion here. The board and the executive director, you know, according to the structure of this, you know, they really hold a lot of power. The board elects itself, and they're responsible for choosing the executive director. This is not news to most people. I just want to like call attention to that. And, you know, and as a result, you know, it's really up to them to, you know, listen to all of the different stakeholders, like students. That's the way if they listen honestly and really kind of reflect to the different groups, then, you know, we'll feel more like we're all in it together and we really do want to contribute. But it really just has not felt like that. In various incidents, over time. And so I just want the board and the executive director to really like think about, be a lot more intentional and how, think about how they can really reach out and include us. And I will in particular point out that, the issue that has been raised is just like the salaries for OSA teachers are really kind of just way too low. I just like to repeat that. We know there's priorities. We know there's other things to pay for, but we've known that about the salaries and the teachers are the heart of, at everything we do. So it's just really, I have problems understanding, why we seem to be going round and round and not solving that. I'm just hoping that, we can get to a better place working together. Thank you.
Okay, Jayla Hernandez, I just want to do a quick reminder that it's 2 minutes. I don't want to cut anyone off. But we have still a number of people who still want to make a public comment.
Okay, I only need two. Hey, everybody. My name is Jayla Hernandez. I actually am an alumni from OSA. I graduated in 2020. Just a few words. If you notice, all the people in this board meeting predominantly look not like me. So that's a first step. Let's talk about it. Second thing is, Ms. Joshi, Kev Choice, Kava Menzies, Mr. Pablo, all these teachers that are here at OSA right now that have been pouring their heart into these students, and just most importantly, students of color. I have attended OSA since seventh grade, and all my attendance here, attending OSA, I've seen people of color that have been teachers go in and out of this school. And I mean, honestly, it's at this point, it's like, we can't even talk no more, you know? And just all I have to say is you're in a school is in Oakland, California. I mean, if you guys are gonna gentrify Oakland, let's make it a place where we have students of color that can come in this school and learn and get the education that they need. You guys are in Oakland, California. You feel what I'm saying? The heart of music, the heart of soul, the heart of dance, the heart of theater, the heart of all of this stuff right here. You feel me what I'm saying? So understand this. You have Kev Choice, Bay Area legend, Kava Menzies, Bay Area legend, Uma Joshi, a legend. Mr. Pablo, a legend. Understand what you have and understand that moving forward, there has to be change. There has to be. That's all I have to say. Once again, you're in Oakland, California. Look around you. It's Black students walking by our school every day. Don't even know what OSA is. That's all I got to say. Once again, my name is Jayla Hernandez. I'm an alumni. Understand what you have.
Thank you, Jayla. Lucy Urbano.
Hi. I am also an alumni of OSA. I went to OSA for 7 years in the theater department, and now I'm a sophomore at UCLA studying acting. And I love OSA. I move through the world with so much pride to be an OSA student. I'll always be, no matter till I, you know, the day I die, I will be proudly an OSA student. But a lot of that pride comes from having been Uma Joshi's student. Uma Joshi completely changed my life. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I would give all of my money to Uma Joshi, and even that would not be enough to repay her for this courage that she's given me. Every time I'm about to do something scary, I see like her face in my mind, and it gives me the strength to go and do that thing. And ethnic studies was one of the most important classes it's the most important class I've ever taken at UCLA, OSA, anywhere, because it taught me about myself in a way that I had never been taught in school before, and about my family. And I went home and I asked my mom questions that I had never even thought to ask her before about her experience growing up as a woman of color in America, and it brought me closer to her. And now I look at her and I understand her more, and I feel so much more appreciation for her. And that, I think, is the most valuable lesson that OSA taught me in so many ways, is that school should be a place that feels like home. And having teachers of color, having people at school who look like the people who are in your home, makes you feel safe and makes you comfortable to learn. And Ms. Joshi and ethnic studies strengthened every aspect of my life. I am forever grateful to her. She came to all of my plays, she came to everyone's performances. The board never did that. I never even knew who any of them were, but Uma Joshi was there every time. And I am forever grateful. And it's a tragedy that the OSA community is losing such an incredible person, but it is a blessing to whoever gets to cross her path next. Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy Thomas.
Thank you. First and foremost, thank you everyone for letting me have this time. I'm going to reiterate what Karen Morfin had brought up, which is something that I've been expressing within the alumni community, which is a transparency report on this representative that's supposed to help with diversity, equity, and, you know, just administrative training. This is something that was preached to us over the last few months, even before Lisa Sherman Colt, you know, took her position in. And it would be nice to see what the status was, what work needs to be done internally if we cannot give external information about particular people. Understandable. I understand how bureaucracy works. The other part of it, the other part of why I am speaking tonight, which I was not planning to do so, but hearing these students, even students that came out within a year, brought up a small story that I experienced myself. Back in 11th grade, theater department was planning to go to London for the Fringe Festival. I was fortunate to be a part of this situation. The one thing my mother was upset about was the fact that the kids were involved with the planning of this trip. It is not in our place to be a part of arrangements, vacations, any of that stuff. It should be the parents that are involved. The only reason that Mr. Berry argued for us to be there is because we would be doing the work. And I agree. We did do a lot of the work, but the parents put in the money. I say this because why are there so many current students and students that just graduated that are here on this meeting today that have so much more, they're expressing so much more solutions, that are expressing all the things that should be inactivated to this point. I get there has been so many changes in administration. There have been changes in leadership, but where does the action actually start? Because back when I was in school, before I graduated in 2012, we lost maybe one or two teachers a year. I've heard over the course of the last 7 years, multiple teachers leaving of all races. And the fact that I'm saying that because I am still a part of the OSA community. Why is it that we have not come up with an active solution instead of constantly having these bureaucratic conversations about what is wrong, to the point where students are like almost shareholders over this situation? Why can't the adults come up with solutions at this point and activate them? I've come up with at least 4 solutions over last night after that session with the BSOC and APT, which thank you again for that presentation. But I'm saying, why are we still having these conversations? Why are there not solutions for creating funding to keep teachers, retain teachers, create resources for both teachers and students to stay in this school to feel safe? I get that what was old is not good now. I get what happened back then, but there are also elements that some of those leaderships, like those leaders at that time, enabled for me and the students around me to have opportunities like the one going to London. So I ask you all to activate yourself instead of constantly having conversation, because the fact that there are students that should be worrying about schoolwork, college, and getting a car cannot think about that right now, on top of being involved in a pandemic. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Tracy. Kareem?
Hello, everyone. My name is Kareem Muhammad, and on the behalf of this Board of Students of Color, we are calling on the Board of Directors to be immediately unseated because Oakland School for the Arts is in violation of the school's charter. The violation is as follows. In the charter, the school vision statement states, quote, Oakland School for the Arts is an artistic and intellectual community founded on diversity and inclusion. OSA embraces differences in culture, race, ethnicity, gender expression, and identity, sexual orientation, specific educational needs, ability, socioeconomic status, religion, nationality, immigration status, age, body type, and the many forms of life experience present in our community. All OSA stakeholders will promote these core values and practice and behavior. This is the most important sentence in the statement. All OSA stakeholders will promote these core values in practice and behavior. OSA is not following the core values in practice as exhibited by the minimal number of teachers of color at the school. This is in a direct violation of the charter, and the board of directors are in charge of upholding and executing OSA's charter. According to the 2015 WASS recommendations, OSA needed to review our compensation systems with the goal of increasing teacher compensation whenever possible, implements parent RED, repeatable, explainable, defendable salary structure that formalizes the salary schedule of the school, maintain an intellectual focus on building and cultivating diversity, inclusivity on all levels of staff and faculty, improve retention of high performing teachers through professional development and support and recognition. In addition, it also states on 2015 WASC, quote, with the governor out of office after 2018, our largest fundraising source would be significantly diminished. Our expense management discipline would need to be honed in preparation for leaner times. Philanthropic support from the board would need to rise significantly, so board building should be a high priority in the next 2 years. The second half of the 30 year of the strategic plan, spring 2019, the governor will not hold office, end quote. The board has known for several years, at least 5 to 6, that after Jerry Brown was out of office, that OSA would need to significantly fundraise, and yet very minimal changes have been made. This lack of fundraising has resulted in educators receiving a low salary, and we have seen this impact to us losing one vital teacher of color after another. The problem is the boards are elected by the board. The board bylaws are set by the board. As a result, the board has no incentive to act within the best interests of the school because there is no accountability. The fix is a democratically elected board of directors. It is clear that a democratically elected board would be more suited to uphold the charter, so specifically the school's vision statement, behavior, and practice. This is because there would be a representation of the people, they would be accountable to the, this would be representation of the people, and they would be accountable to the people that elected them. We believe that democratically elected board would greatly improve the retention of BIPOC teachers and students. If the board members really care about the future vitality of the school, you would voluntarily unseat yourselves and throw your full support to a democratically elected board immediately. And if any board member would like to hold their seat, they should run for it and be elected by the community. Thank you.
Samson Gabriel.
Hello. OSA has been, OSA isn't upholding its original values. Every day when I walk through the hallways, I see, well, before COVID, obviously, I saw a poster saying that they would respect all teachers and students of color and that they would work to uphold equality. I don't believe that OSA, I believe OSA is prioritizing those who are rich, white, upper middle class, who are rich, white, upper middle class and have the resources to donate to the school. I don't believe that they are setting out to do their original mission and that they are actively taking part in Oakland's gentrification issue. Instead of not adjusting pay and not giving teachers enough resources, we need to work, and I had an amazing math teacher last year, Ms. Hannah, who had been at the school for up to 2 to 3 years. She would stay every day after school with me for 5 to 6 hours, helping me get my math grade up. She didn't do this for any pay, and she helped everyone. But she had to leave at the end of the year and go to a SF private school because her work wasn't valued. Teachers of color are subject to racism from their own students, from other teachers, and from the administration. Instead of leaving teachers to do their work, you need to adjust their salaries for inflation, which hasn't been adjusted since 2007. If you are only working to cater to those who can donate, you are not working in the best interest of anyone.
Okay, I'm going to assume that Samson's done. Mike Jung.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Mike Jung. I'm the parent of Zoe Jung, who is a first year student at OSA in the grade. And, you know, I'm very moved by the words that I'm hearing from our students today. And I'm also feeling very informed by them in a way that I wasn't before, because it's dismaying to learn that these issues exist at OSA, and that we've entered a school where there are such tremendous disparities between the school's stated mission and the actual in the classroom reality. It's not just deeply unfortunate. It is, by not meeting the goals set in the documentation provided in terms of diversity and so on. OSA is not unique that way, certainly, because it's all too often in organizations and institutions that the documentation about meeting certain goals about diversity and representation actually are used to demonstrate the goals themselves, that having the documentation is presented as enough, having the town meetings voice their opinions is enough. Having statements put out in response to those meetings is enough. But none of it is actually enough. And it's what is enough is to see the reality in the classrooms and in the hallways of the school. And so I believe that there have been a lot of meetings like this. I've been in my share of texts as well. And I believe this frustration I'm hearing from students and alums about the fact that so much gets said and so little comes back. So I think that there needs to be some action from the school and from the administration and from the board in terms of actually showing not just documentation about what words have been down, not just plans and goals for what could be done, but substantial real-time updates about the actions that have been taken and the changes that are actually being affected, because it's not enough to invite everyone to speak up and share their opinions and voice their concerns and have it go into a vacuum and not have anything come back. What we need to see are the actual results in the classroom. And the fact that this is such a problem really, as I'm sorry, I'm not remembering which student said this, but talking about the fact that this school is in Oakland, which is a place of such rich and powerful history in terms of all the things that we're talking about, in terms of race, in terms of civil rights, in terms of advances that have been made, in terms of battles that have been fought, to have a school that instead becomes gentrified in the same way that the city is a historical affront. And I also believe that it is a genuinely a pedagogical issue, that it genuinely affects both the substance and the quality of the education that students are receiving. So thank you all for speaking up and please note that I am with you and I intend to support you however I can.
We have Melinda De Jesus and then Carol Suarez. Left, and please trying to keep it to 2 or 3 minutes because we have a lot of agenda items and lots of public comment.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Melinda De Jesus. I'm also APT co-chair this year, and I'm also speaking as a mom of 2 children at OSA and an ethnic studies professor for over 30 years. I can tell you, as someone who has taught ethnic studies for a very long time, that the only changes that come to curriculum that are really going to focus on racial equity and centering the voices of people of color come because the community and the students are pushing for them. And that's how ethnic studies was literally founded at San Francisco State and also at UC Berkeley, and also later at California College of the Arts, where I teach. But the real issue is, until folks of color basically take over every educational institution in this country, these changes won't happen in predominantly white dominated spaces, because not enough folks care about ethnic studies and not enough folks really care about racial equity. So I just, for the record, I want to ask the same questions that I asked last night at the town hall regarding the recruitment and the retention of people of color, because I really don't want to be here again next year asking these same questions. We've had enough words. Now we need to see some action. Students and families of color and teachers of color and white allies at the school have really offered a whole bunch of solutions that really need to be taken seriously. And then we need to see the upper admin, senior administration at this school take these ideas seriously and enact some change. So here are my questions. What is OSA, and as an organization largely led by white folks, doing to lift up and advocate for the voices of teachers of color, students of color, your neighbors of color in downtown Oakland, and also Oakland leaders of color? Why must students of color in particular, and families of color in this community, and teachers of color beg over and over again for OSA's largely white leadership to address these very urgent needs? These are urgent needs regardless of whether you understand that or not. And if you don't understand why this is urgent, then you really need to find someone who can explain it to you because we're done waiting. Finally, what kind of restorative justice is OSA leadership offering to address these ongoing issues of racism and inequity? Because we're waiting. Ethnic Studies Now. Save the Ethnic Studies program at OSA. Thank you.
Carol Suarez. Sorry, I hope I said that right.
Yeah, hi, my name is Carol Suarez. I just wanna say that I felt like kind of bad coming into OSA because I felt like the minority in a school in Oakland, which is kind of new for me. And I feel kind of dumb, you know, because like, how the heck am I, how do I not see people of color? Like the first time in Zoom where like everybody had their camera on, I would count how much people of color I see because like I didn't see none. And it was kind of sad at first. And also, from what I hear, like all you guys do is say you guys listen, but don't actually do action. And it's kind of sad. And what I feel is gonna end up happening is it's just gonna be a school full of white privileged people with black people on the homepage. Cause that's literally what's happening right now. I literally went into OSA thinking it's gonna be people of color. Cause in the homepage, it was only like black people. Oh yes, good, thank you. Came in, all I saw was white people. And it's kind of sad cause right now, look at the, you know, cameras, there's only white people. There's literally no hate, but there's literally a white principal. You know, like how is that happening in a school that catered for people of color? So that's what I want to say.
Thank you. Consent agenda. We have the minutes, and I have one change, and then approval of the SELPA participation and certificate. So the minutes say 200 instead of 2000. And any other comment or conversation about the minutes or about the consent agenda?
No, I'd actually be fine striking that whole comment about the early cancellation because it's not necessarily germane to what we approved. It was just a factual follow-up to a question. I'd actually move to approve with that sentence stricken. I don't think it adds value to the minutes.
All right. Do we have any movement? A motion?
I think I just did.
Thank you, Mike. Second?
I second.
Thank you, Diane. We have to do a roll call vote. Josefina?
Yes.
Adrian?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
Elise? Yes. Jonathan or Weiling, have you joined us?
I have, but I have to abstain because I don't know what the question is.
Okay. Melissa? Jason? Dwayne? Diane?
Yes.
Just during the vote, so I couldn't even.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I think we only have 5 votes.
Elise, I count 6. I have Josefina, Adrian, Mike, Steve, Elise, and Diane. Is that correct?
That is correct. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next, I'm gonna ask someone else from the Equity Committee to do this report, if they can. I'm sorry to put you on the spot. Josefina, Weiling, Diane, Dwayne. I have a couple of slides, but I'd appreciate it if someone could do this report instead of me.
Well, let me start.
Go ahead.
The report. This is Josefina Alvarado Mena. I'm a board member and a member of the Equity Committee. I am one of two board members that was elected by the parent community last year to serve on the board of OSA. After receiving, a number of different documents highlighting the equity challenges at OSA, I really felt it was important for the board to meet and in the committee and to talk about moving towards concrete actions and solutions to address the current equity challenges. Just a little bit of background. I'm a Latina mom of three children that have been in OSA, a graduate in visual arts department, a mom of a senior in the theater department currently, Emilio, and my son Xavier, who's in the middle school in the seventh grade. And for many years, we have also been advocating for greater equity at the school. And I guess I should also share that my dad and my grandchildren to my children was one of the leaders of the Fight for Ethnic Studies in the Third World Strike at San Francisco State, Roger Alvarado. And so we come from a history, we come with a history in terms of ethnic studies all the way back to the origins. And I want to share that with everybody so that there's greater understanding about the leadership at the board level and the commitment to equity among the board. And towards that end, in the conversation we had earlier this week about equity, there was consensus across all board members in that committee towards solutions. And several solutions were approved by the committee to be moved forward, including creating a mentoring program for the teachers of color at OSA, which I think the board members and the committee felt as being extremely important to help with the recruitment and the retention of teachers of color at OSA. In addition to that, we talked about the need for coaching and support for the administration to create systems of support for teachers of color. And so it's, in terms of the solutions, there has to be a number of different solutions, but the solution should focus on creating the systems that we need to move the school forward, including systems that support greater equity among the teaching staff, as well as greater equity among the student staff and greater collaboration across all stakeholders at OSA. I don't know if anybody else wants to, from the Equity Committee, wants to jump in or if you want me to keep going.
So I have some slides, Josefina, around the task force.
Okay.
David, if you want to pull them up, I think we talked about both the JEDI coordinator and the task force and how we want it structured. So this was, we wanted to have a board discussion about this is right now what the equity task force would look like and how does the board want to interact with this? There was some conversation. Josefina gave an example of when she was at Oakland Unified. She led the task force and reported to the board. We could also have regular interactions or reporting. So we wanted to have a conversation with the board, not necessarily a decision about how we want to interact with this equity task force. Did I capture that, Josefina?
Yes, we definitely want to have a larger conversation around how to elevate the equity work at OSA, and this could be one strategy to do that.
So this is Diane and Rush Woods. I was born in Oakland. I'm a person of color. I'm a professor at Cal State East Bay, and I was the diversity officer. My adoptive son graduated from OSA. One of the other things we talked about was making sure that we were able to identify specifically funds that were directed towards diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts, and finding and identifying those funds and making sure that we were transparent about that process. So that was also one of the a piece of the conversation that we had. Was I right about that? Anyone? Elise?
So I'd love to get some board response to, this overall question. We don't have to make a decision, but I would love some input for the equity committee to consider.
Sorry, Lisa, just to clarify. So there's the board equity committee. I think it's the five people you named, yourself, Diane, Dwayne, Weiling, Josefina. That's the board ad hoc committee that we created, correct?
Yes.
And you're asking how...
And Weiling, sorry.
And Weiling, sorry.
So you said that.
So the question is, how does the board, the full board, interact with this equity task force, the positions you've listed here? Is that the question you're asking?
Yes.
And there's the, sorry, I didn't have my slides from before. So right now this list does not include any members of the board as official members of this task force. That's the answer you're trying to get us to. Should a board member or some board members or the entire board equity committee be part of this? I think that's the point. Question?
I'm leaving it even more open than that.
Fair enough.
Around, it could be there's a board member on it, could be they report to the equity committee. I'm leaving it really open.
Got it.
Elise, I guess my comment is, and I'll echo what I heard last night at the excellent session hosted by the APT, is that, you know, we made a commitment in the last strategic plan where diversity and DE&I was an issue throughout the pillars. We're in the process of building a new strategic plan that continues to support that. But there has not been enough of an effort to build systems and funding and resources to operationalize and scale that. So I think we have to be very careful as we build this new strategic plan, that we're also being very deliberate in the tactics to get there in terms of resources, staffing, budgeting, so that the words jump out on the page and we realize our goals in a way that we did not achieve them in the last strategic plan. So I guess I'm advocating for, we have to be much more deliberate. If we're going to build planning and build goals, we need to operationalize, scale, and budget for that.
So this is Weiling. I think specifically around the equity task force, there are some really good ideas that got floated and talked about in the equity meeting. Including having the JEDI coordinator at either the full task force or through the JEDI coordinator report directly to the board. As Josefina said, it really elevates the work of the task force. But I think it also just kind of gets more brains and more expertise. I think Diane and Josefina did a really good job of talking about the expertise that's on this board around equity work, and the commitment that many of us have. And so, you know, having that those extra resources, thinking about and working on these issues, I completely agree with Steve's points about the funding. You know, because we don't want to continue to have our teachers of color being tasked with, you know, holding all of this up and not, you know, not properly compensating them for the work. And it's everything from, you know, the actual, you know, sitting on this task force. It's everything from attending trainings. It's everything from, you know, just being the person that the students call because they know that they'll have an understanding ear and the time that takes out of their day. And so I think those are all the different pieces that we need to make sure we operationalize it. And you know, I think what really came out from the comments and from the situation in the last couple of days is we really have to do this now. You know, we have to create a budget now. And we can't keep studying it, and we can't keep, you know, writing up goals without actually putting some real systems behind it, like this month.
Yeah, I would echo that that we need to, and we talked a little bit about this somewhat tangentially at the finance committee meeting last Friday, I think it was. I do think it's important to identify sources of funds to help support some of this stuff. I am not opposed, nor am I fully on board with the idea of the JEDI coordinator reporting to the board at this point. I'd have to consider that some more. And I'm not trying, I think that the board should have some representation and, you know, frequent interaction with this equity task force. But I'm unclear. I'm guessing the JEDI coordinator is the leader of this task force. And given that person's not hired yet, we can't ask that person what level of board involvement they would want. I think the board's goal would be to support, but not get in the way of the actions that are going to be taken. So that's a lot to digest. I do want to, I know Josefina has her hand up. I do want to flag something that came across my email a couple weeks ago. There's a Assembly Bill 520, which is, I think been approved and is headed to Appropriations Committee, that's called the California Diversifying Teacher Grant Program. And I'm gonna read from an announcement that I got from the CDE that says that program will award $15 million in grants for school districts to provide one-time competitive grants that develop and implement new or expand existing programs that address a local need to develop the teacher workforce while emphasizing the retention of male teachers of color. There's a little more context. I can certainly share that, but I'd be interested to know, I'm guessing it applies to charters. It's listed as districts. I don't know the application mechanism, but I think it's something that we should certainly look at internally. So I'll forward that over to the admin staff to take a look at whether that's something we can help, perhaps some funding to help with the initiatives here.
So, Josefina, did you have any thoughts, or is this enough input? I don't know that we've really gotten any clear guidance. We can just take it up with the equity committee.
Yeah, I think we need to have a little more conversation about it, but I think, you know, one of the big questions about the way the equity task force is structured is who does the task force report to? And I think that's the conversation that we need to make a decision about. We need to think about structural changes within the organization to move the equity work forward. And that from that conversation, we can really, I think, you know, talk about what systems need to be created and then hand it off to the administration to operationalize those systems. But we should see those systems represented and those strategies represented throughout the organization, including in the strategic plan, including in the budget. And as we, I think, will begin to see additional resources to address the learning loss and the other impacts of the pandemic, we should really be thinking about how we can earmark a more substantial part of those resources to addressing the equity issues at OSA, along with establishing fundraising goals that would be dedicated to those strategies. So we did have a little bit of conversation about this in the advancement committee as well that met on Friday. So I wanted to share that. And then the last thing I wanted to say about our meeting earlier this week is that Duane and I both committed to meeting and to work on metrics. So that way we can also build those into our strategic plan and our process so that we can measure our progress towards the equity goals and the other goals within the strategic plan, and that we use those to hold ourselves accountable.
Okay. So I think on that note, we can take public comment.
Actually, I had a question. I was wondering why there were no academic or arts teachers on the task force.
So we didn't come up with this. This was actually from a slide that Uma had. So I don't think this is set in stone. I don't know if this was a recommendation or if it came from Uma, but this was not something we set up.
Okay, thank you.